Welcome to Mum Fessions, the award-winning podcast that helps you navigate motherhood. I'm Laura Guckian, maternal mental health advocate, motherhood coach, founder of Mind Mommy Coaching, and most importantly, mum of three. I'm on a mission to change how we talk about and support maternal mental health. This isn't just another motherhood podcast, because you are my guests. Each week, I'll be sharing your mum fessions, the honest, raw, messy truths mums are often too afraid to say out loud. I'll unpack the guilt, the overwhelm, the rage, and the reality. And I'll give you practical tools to help you move into your happier chapter of motherhood. And this season, I've invited some special guests to help answer your mum fessions, because it takes a village. And this is the emotional village you need. Before we begin, can I ask you to do me a massive favor? Please hit the follow or subscribe button. This will help more mothers to find Mumfessions. Coming up this week.
I struggled with quite a lot after I gave birth.
And I find it hard to feel like I'm constantly giving out.
She's just worrying about her kids being happy. That literally makes me sad. Like, I could cry. Like, all they want is you.
Cherish every moment. I'm not cherishing every moment. I haven't slept in 4 days.
What do you mean cherish the poonami that just ended up in my lap?
Before we begin today's episode, I just want to give a little trigger warning that we briefly discuss the topic of baby loss. If you are in a place where you don't feel ready to listen to this right now, please skip and know that you can come back and listen to this at a time when you feel ready. I am really excited to welcome my guest today. I invited her because I met her at an event in London a couple of months ago and I didn't know anyone. And full mum fashion, I didn't actually recognize her. So I trotted up and said, "Hey, I don't know anyone. Can I sit with you?" And she was so warm, so kind. And it was only a few minutes into our conversation I realized who she was. And many of you will know her, but today I am just going to introduce her as a really, really warm, kind woman and mother who deserves every single bit of success and happiness that comes her way. So, Olivia Bowen, you are so very welcome to Mum Fessions.
Why are you trying to make me cry? I've been on it 2 seconds. That was the cutest intro. Thank you so much.
I did warn you about this podcast.
Honestly, I was like listening to you like, don't cry. You've been here 2 minutes.
It is all true. And I didn't tell you that. I didn't recognize you and I was like a lost puppy going.
No, you know what? I like that though. It's quite nice. Like obviously you have no sort of like idea of someone and you just meet them. Like face value, it's kind of nice, isn't it? But we were just talking about it before we started, actually, that I was a couple of days pregnant, wasn't I? I just found out. And then...
Yes. I also told you, Olivia, that makes sense now, because on that night, Olivia wasn't drinking, but Laura didn't know that. And somehow a bottle of Prosecco ended up on our table.
I feel like it's my fault.
And I couldn't understand why I was getting so drunk. But anyway, thank you. It was gorgeous Prosecco. Aww. You hit it very well. And, you know, on that night, I did invite you on to Mum Fessions because we ended up having a really honest conversation about motherhood. Mm. And you were asking me, oh my goodness, what's it like to go like from 1 to 2? Yeah. And I was really honest, but in a nice way.
Yeah.
And then when I realized you were pregnant, I was like, I'm so glad that I spoke about it in a nice, honest way. But yeah, that was an amazing night. And I had such a lovely... lovely time with you, but you are here today to share your mum fashion with us and help us answer an audience mum fashion. Yes. But before we share your mum fashion, would you like to tell everyone a little bit about yourself, the way you would like them to know you?
God, that's a really difficult question. I guess most people would know me from being on Love Island, but that was 10 years ago now. So
is that 10 years?
Decade, nearly.
Olivia,
I know. I'm so old now. I went on there when I was 22. I'll be 32 in January. So it's nearly a decade that's gone past. But that's where I met my husband, Alex, on Love Island. So that's probably what most people know us for. And then, yeah, our lives just changed from that point, really. And now... we're married nearly 8 years, a little boy called Abel, who's nearly 3, and then a baby girl on the way. So, yeah, we do all sorts. I'm really like into my interiors and we love sharing our family bits and bobs and just, yeah, being authentic and real on social media, really, because you don't see too much of it. So
no, you don't. And it's funny you say that, because I shared with one of my close friends that you were coming on the podcast and she was like, oh, my goodness, I actually love her
for so nice.
How...
down to earth she is. Uh-huh. And it's one of those pages, because sometimes when someone has a huge platform, we can feel lots of things when we go on it. We can feel intimidated. We can feel like we're not enough. But actually, every time I'm on your page, it's just a nice page to be on.
Oh, that's so lovely. I find it's weird because I don't feel like I can be anything else other than myself. Mm. I don't have the energy to keep that up. Like, I know how a lot of people are like, oh, how are you like on there with no makeup on and, you know, like looking like just normal? I'm like, well, there's no other way for me to be, because I don't have the physical ability to pretend to be someone else.
Yeah. So,
and it's quite natural to me just to be, I guess, like unapologetically myself.
And that's a really good point. Like, what do you think people think you are? You know, when you're saying, it's funny when people say, but you look so normal.
Yeah.
Like, what is normal?
What did you think I was going to look like, an alien? Like,
I mean, no. Do you think there's a lot of people who know you from Love Island and really kind of haven't made the connection that was 10 years ago? You are now married. You met your husband there, which is incredible in itself.
Yeah.
And like, you have this whole other life now.
I think when you see someone on a reality program, especially one like Love Island, that is glitzy, it's glam, it's, you know, everyone's in bikinis, got tan and looks like really great. You're kind of immortalized in that image.
Yeah.
Before you then carry on your life and like 10 years later, you know, have wrinkles. and I think it's just because people absolutely adored the show, which I love. And I love how people still remember us from that. I think it is just hard to kind of follow someone's life and see how much that's changed when people still watch the show from so long ago.
Wow.
But it is really nice, and I have people that have followed me for that whole decade, so like we've kind of grown up together.
Yeah.
So a lot of people do see me now for who I am. You might get a few people who are like, oh, do you remember what you were like on there? I'm like, yeah, I do remember what I was like.
Yeah,
I
don't need also, do any of us remember what we were like 10 years ago?
22.
I mean, like, wow, you were that young, yeah. Olivia.
I was feral at 22.
Wow.
So, I actually didn't want kids originally. Like, when I first met Alex, I remember us sort of discussing it, and I was really not into the idea of marriage. I think just because I had such bad relationships or relationship beforehand, I just had this idea of marriage and having kids as something that was just not for me because of how I'd been treated. And then obviously I met Alex, and I still didn't want kids for the first three or four. I was not sure at all. And then we kind of got to the point where we did start discussing it, and I did kind of start thinking this could be something that I wanted. I guess I just accepted that you can have that, you're allowed to be happy and have that, like,
yeah.
So it took a while, but it is funny that now I'm sitting on a Mumfession podcast and I was like, yeah, I didn't even want children.
Here we are.
But that's the first one. That wasn't even the one that I was thinking in my head, but
so
yeah,
that's first Mumfession. I didn't want children. Brilliant.
Now I've got one and there's another one, so that didn't do very well. It didn't age well.
But look, I hope on today's episode people will see another side to you, because that's what this is about. It's about, I suppose, as mothers, we all are navigating very different circumstances, very different lives. But I truly believe we all share the same feelings and experiences.
100%.
And so many of us feel like we're the only one, or there's no way someone like Olivia Bowen might be having this feeling. Yeah. But actually, why not?
Yeah.
You know, why not?
Honestly, like, I 100% agree with you. And I think it's so hard because you do feel so isolated, especially in this pregnancy. When I found out we were having twins, and then we lost one of the twins to vanishing twin syndrome, that was probably the most isolated I've ever felt in my life. Like, I literally felt like no one understood me, and no one had felt how I felt. But as soon as I opened up about it and spoke about it, which is one of the key reasons why I ended up going on Loose Women and speaking about it in a magazine, is because I knew it was kind of like therapy to then speak to all of these women that were able to see my story. And I can't even tell you the response. Like, the amount of women that had been through the same thing, that either didn't know what it was, hadn't been given the information by the hospital or their doctors, hadn't been even given a name for what happened to them, hadn't accepted what happened to them. I had a few women in my inbox were around their 60s, and they were like, I've never told anyone this, but I experienced the same thing as you, and I finally feel 60s okay to open up about it. And I was like, the fact that something I've been through has the ability to then allow other women to feel comfortable opening up, it was like the best thing I could have done. And it felt like therapy. So I always say, like, as a mom, just please try and speak to someone or your friends, because it literally
it changed my whole outlook when I got in contact with all these women that had been through the same thing.
And thank you so much for sharing that. And like woman to woman, I had two miscarriages. And I remember the first one being like, I'm the only woman in the world. This has happened
to you. You do feel like that.
Why does nobody talk about this? Why is it not spoken of? And the more you share, like, I think it's nearly more rare to find a woman that hasn't experienced baby loss.
I agree.
Than a woman that has. But yet, it's sort of, I think particularly in Ireland, in the UK, we don't share that we're pregnant until 12 weeks. And I never understood that.
How do you feel about that? Do you think that's like, have you done that or have you shared it earlier?
On my first baby, I kept it to 12 weeks because that's what you're told to do. But I think once I experienced a miscarriage, I was like, well, I want to tell my friends straight away, because if this happens again, I want to be able to share that with them.
Like, you are literally me and I am literally you. Like, this is exactly like, how I felt.
I don't understand why this is this big secret that we don't tell anyone we're pregnant. And I guess it's a very personal choice for every woman. But like, for me, I didn't want my friends finding out that I had a miscarriage and that I was pregnant
in the same sentence.
Yeah. So like, you know, for my first, and we're kind of veering off topic here, but let's go. Like, I had a very early miscarriage and I told all my friends, and then suddenly 2 days later, it had ended. And it was really so confusing going, wait, I wasn't. And then my second experience was completely different again. It lingered on for weeks. And I just, as a society, don't understand why there's this rule, this 12-week rule, because we're isolating women.
Yeah, and I also, I always think as well, it then gives you this like false sense of security at 12 weeks when things happen after 12 weeks. And I, you don't want to scare people, but also like, I don't like how it's like this sudden, oh, you're at 12 weeks, you're absolutely fine, you don't need to worry, you don't need to care, because it there's still stuff that can happen. And then you're also neglecting the women that after that point, they went through this, they were told to wait. And then at 13 weeks, if something happened, it's like, oh, but I waited, I was meant to be safe. And it's just like this expectation, I think, that's like put on you to be fine after 12 weeks. That's not reality. And I, like you said, I needed my friends. That 12 weeks is probably the hardest part. For me personally, I found both pregnancies, the 12 weeks were so lonely, so hard. Like, you're sick, like you feel sick, you don't feel great. Like, of course you want your besties there for you. Like, at 4 weeks, I told my best friends and my family, and then we found out we were having twins at 6 weeks. So I did tell them all that I was having twins. And then obviously I had to break the news to everyone that I'd told that we were having twins, that we'd lost one. And I don't think I could have got through it the same way if I didn't have that extension of like friends and family to talk to. So I think if someone's worried about sharing before the 12 weeks, just do what feels right for you.
Yeah.
There's like no guideline that you should stick by. It's all about you and your body. Like, this is your baby, this is your body. Do what empowers you, makes you happy and feel comfortable.
It's so true. So today, Olivia and I are demanding that 12-week rule demanding. Be gone. It's gone. We now
I
allowed.
Get it, though. I do get,
I get it.
Like, obviously, there is a lot more viability after 12 weeks and the science is behind it. But I think, like we're saying, like, maternal mental health is so important and it's so rife at the moment with difficulty that if you feel like something may help you by telling someone, just tell them.
Yeah. There are no, I always say there are no rules in motherhood. Just do what's right for you. And I suppose that leads us to, and maybe that was your mumfession, but would you like to share another mumfession with us, Olivia?
This one is not to do with pregnancy, but it's to do with, well, actually, ever since Abel was born, it can be quite a controversial topic, but Abel has slept in our bed for nearly his whole life. He's been in and out of his cot. We co-sleep, and we did co-sleep with Abel when he was younger. And now, yeah, he's allowed in our bed whenever. Like, that's my confession. My three-year-old sleeps in my bed whenever he wants. I have no rules about sleep. And I think sleep is such a huge topic. Again, because I feel like, again, a little bit controversial, but I do feel like some sleep trainers are trying to profit off the exhaustion from some mums, not everyone, because it's a choice whether you sleep train or not completely. But I feel like some women are at this point of desperation and exhaustion that they feel like there's nowhere else to turn. And I know a lot of mums that feel shame about having their
child in bed with them or their baby sleeping with them. And if you do it safely, it works really well. And I feel like there needs to be more talk around how to safely co-sleep rather than sort of shunning one side of it and pushing women to the other one when they feel like they've got nowhere else to go.
Yeah, it's such an important topic you've raised because it's something I talk about all the time that I do believe it, you know, for our generation of mothers, it is the hardest time to be a mother. And part of that is social media. We have access to the perfect mother and everything's perfect. But we also have access to a range of experts telling us how we should do it. And the challenge is there's a gap between either if that's what we want to do or our capacity to implement it.
Yeah.
And it's something that really frustrates me. Like there's the way it should be done, but there's the way that it's actually going to work for you and your family. And then when we're talking about maternal mental health, if we're not doing it that way, the inner voice is like, well, you're doing it wrong. You're not doing it right. Honestly. But actually, and as you said that, I actually realized, I would have said for a long time, I never co-slept with my kids. But actually, I 100% did.
Like most of us have at some point, you know.
We all have, like when my babies were tiny.
I love it though. Yeah. Like I honestly, Alex is away at the moment in Ibiza on a stag do. And I've had Avel in my bed like since he's been gone. And I love the cuddles. Sometimes I've put him to sleep in his bed. And then I've gone upstairs when Alex is away and I've been like, I'm really lonely. So I get him out of his bed and put him in mine. Like one day that boy is going to be a teenager and he is going to slam the door in my face and say, Mum, leave me alone, or Mum, you're not cool, or whatever. So do you know what? I'm going to take the cuddles. Like I'm going to snuggle him until he tells me not to. Yeah.
Do you want my mum fashion?
Yes.
So my middle boy is 5 and a half. Mm. I sleep in his bed every night.
I mean, yeah, but I feel like that's so normal because you're talking to someone who loves it as well.
I'm like, I don't want to sleep with my husband. I want to sleep in a bed with my 5-year-old because he's autistic and he wakes a lot during the night. And I'm like, I just want sleep. And if I'm in the bed with him, he'll wake and go straight back. Yeah. So I do that. And this I'm like, that's so normal to me.
Yeah. Like, and that's the other thing, like you just said, like, what works for you is right. If you're getting sleep and your child is getting sleep and you're both happy, then what is the problem? The same way as if you sleep trained and you're getting sleep and your baby's getting sleep, good. I'm glad. Like, I don't feel like we should judge anyone for doing what they want to do or need to do or have to do or feel like they want to do. I just feel like the problem is the expectation of a baby being able to sleep like 12 hours a night as soon as they're born, or, you know, you feel like you should be doing it a certain way because the experts are telling you that. Like, listen, like, you have to listen to yourself. Like, you're their mother at the end of the day and your instinct will be correct.
And I think that's a really important point you raised around maternal mental health, because I think of my mother's generation. Mm. Like, she had no idea what Mary down the road was doing.
No,
like,
exactly.
No idea. Like, she,
and that was probably so nice, so like, nice. In a way.
She had no access to all this expert advice. They just got on with it.
Yeah.
And I think their generation really leaned into, well, why would I do it any other way? Mm. This is what I need to do. And I think the most damaging thing to our maternal mental health now is social media.
Yeah.
And it's something I always recommend, like take a social media break, like get off it, because you and I both know the vast majority of what's on social media for a lot of people is not reality.
No.
But yet for some reason, there seems to be this pressure to put out a certain perception of motherhood and not share the actual reality. And then equally, there's very polarized views. You know, I mean, poor, is it Chappell Roan recently when she said, my friends.
There was so much like, around that, wasn't there?
I mean, she was speaking the
truth. It's her experience, which shouldn't offend anyone, but I guess it does, because a lot of mums feel very strongly and want to defend that, you know, their livelihood and everything they do. But I get it. But also, she's only talking from her point. Like, it's got nothing to do with us. But you wouldn't have never heard her say that, would you? Normally, you wouldn't know. You would have no idea of her opinion, what she thinks. Like you said, back in our mum's sort of era, it's just hard now because you hear everyone's opinions and it's noisy.
It is noisy. And I just thought it was so sad that there was so many women going, you don't speak for me. And it's sort of, I wish we could recognize your experience of motherhood does not invalidate my experience vice versa.
Yeah.
You know, and I have been in very different chapters of motherhood. Mm-hmm. I mean, obviously
I've agreed with her at one point and not the other.
Like. Yeah, I mean, I've made a career out of it. Here we are, Momfessions, motherhood is hard.
Exactly.
Yeah, I mean, it is, but it's just so interesting that we have really kind of built up the expectation of the perfect mother myth. And if you say it's hard, you're a bad mother. Mm. And actually, both can be true. Like, you can find it really hard and love being
in
a mother.
In one day as well. Sometimes within 1 hour, like... Well, like, honestly, Abel gives me whiplash because one minute he will be just so difficult. I don't know if anyone's into their star signs, but he's a Gemini and he is such a split personality. One minute he is absolutely crazy, really hard to deal with, stubborn. And then the next he's literally like kissing me, telling me he loves me and is the sweetest little pie. So the two can coexist. You can hate it at one point and absolutely love it the next.
Yeah. When you became a mum, what was, I suppose, the hardest part for you? Or maybe the part that surprised you the most that you were like, why didn't anybody tell me this?
I struggled with quite a lot after I gave birth. I definitely experienced postpartum depression and anxiety, but I had already had a history of that.
Yeah.
So I was kind of already expecting it, which I think made it worse as well because I was scared that it would happen. And then I kind of scared it into happening. But I was obsessed. I think this is why I'm so sort of pro talking about sleep and it being your decision. I was so obsessed with him napping and I used to write down all the times he napped and he had to nap at this time and had to wake up at this time. And I feel like it actually stole a lot of the joy of them early newborn days for me because I felt like I was doing it wrong. I had apps to tell me. I was following so much on social media about sleep training and you should be doing this and you shouldn't cuddle your baby to sleep. And that didn't feel right to me. Like I said, I don't judge any mum for doing what they want to do. But for me personally, like, I wanted to cradle him until he fell asleep. Like, that was just what I wanted to do, whether it exhausted me or not. But I felt like I was being told not to. So I had this like battle of what was right by the experts and expected of me on social media and what was right in actually in my head. So a lot of that I found difficult. And actually just the transition into being a mum in general, because me and Alex had 6 years of our crazy relationship where we, you know, flew where we wanted to go. We had holidays, we went out, like, we had a very free life. And then, having a child just floored me in the fact that it just took over my whole life. And I never, you know, regretted it or felt resentment towards it, but it was hard doing that transition. That's why I do feel like 0 to 1 was very, very hard for me. And I actually feel like, maybe don't quote this, but I feel like 1 to 2 for me personally might be easier because I'm already in it. Whereas before I was pretty shocked, to say the least.
Yeah. And what did that feel like for you? You mentioned you kind of felt like you were struggling with your mental health. Mm. Like, and I think this is really important to talk about because I think for every woman that looks and feels differently. I think there's a perception that to struggle with your mental health as a new mom, we must be really down and are
crying and
it certainly wasn't my experience.
No.
So what did that look and feel like for you?
I'm so glad you brought this up because I saw this online the other day about how depression looks different in different people. And I just cope. I go 100 miles per hour. I obsess over absolutely everything. Like, I'll wake up so many times in the night, but you won't see me struggle because I won't show you that. So that's kind of how... I mean, my husband will know, my friends will know, like, she's going 100 miles per hour. She's losing
the, Olivia,
losing
we are
mind.
The same person. If you want to see me about to explode, I am in the house with the Hoover out.
Yes.
And everyone that knows me is like, stand back.
Yeah, just leave her at it. It's going to happen.
But everyone else is like, she's coping great. Mm. I'm so glad you explained it in that way. Because for me, again, that's what my struggle with mental health was like. It was this sense of, I'm someone who loves control. And when you have a baby...
You're like preaching to the choir over here.
that control, it's like a grenade. And for me, I honestly think for me, for the first few years of motherhood, I was constantly striving to take back control.
You can't, can you?
No, it's
They've
like
got
shoveling
control.
Snow.
These tiny little babies control your whole life.
And for me, I was never crying or sad or down. No. I was the opposite. I was like, what can we do to
That's
take
so
control?
Interesting.
And struggling and struggling. And again, I do get in trouble for saying this, but like, you know, at the time we're recording this, it was Maternal Mental Health Awareness Week last week. And most of the stuff I saw, I fundamentally disagreed with because, and again, I'll get in trouble, but I absolutely believe disclaimer, postnatal depression and postnatal anxiety and all of those things are real and mm-hmm. valid for some women. But I also believe as mothers, if we go and share with someone I'm struggling, straight yeah. away it's like, well, you've postpartum depression.
Yeah.
And you may, but the difference is you're sort of given some medication and a bit of therapy, if only it were that simple. Mm. I genuinely believe every woman struggles with her mental health on a spectrum.
At some point, yeah.
And the way we support women through that is not just with therapy and medication. It's so much more. Mm. It's the society support. It's the community support. It's everything you spoke about there in terms of the narrative and the rules around motherhood and the pressure. And yeah, I have gotten trouble for saying that, but I do believe that to be true.
I think it is true. Like, and what I always try and talk about with people is emotion is really normal. If you're going to be happy and have highs, you have to expect that there's going to be lows and you're also going to be sad. And that is the beauty of being a human. Like, you get to visit the whole spectrum of emotion. You're going to be angry. You're going to be sad. You're going to be tired. You're going to be exhausted. You're going to be happy. You're going to be excited. There's so many emotions that we're able to feel.
Mm.
So for me, like, if I am feeling sad or in a bit of a depressive mood, I try and lean into it and I try and think to myself, this is the whole experience of being a human. Like, you're able to feel this. You should be, you know, I've been on antidepressants and I've felt numb, and that's worse. It's a whole lot worse. It's not very nice.
Yeah.
It can help for a bit, but just that ability to feel, we're so lucky to have.
Yeah.
So sometimes I just kind of remind myself, like, this is a day that I'm going to be down here and then tomorrow I might be up here.
Yeah.
And just try and ride that wave. And like I said, just speak to people about it. But you're right. Like, it doesn't mean that you've got depression. It doesn't mean that you've got anxiety. Like, you might just be going through a certain period of your life where you're going to experience a bit more heavy.
And most importantly, it's not your fault because, and I talk a lot about this, how maternal mental health is influenced by, you know, our community support, our society. And I think as women, when you can recognize that, you stop saying, what am I doing wrong?
Yeah.
And you start saying, I'm just not supported. Like, why wouldn't this happen? And I just think so much of, like, that's part of my job. I support women every day. And it's always the same internal dialogue of what did I do wrong?
Isn't it like that? It's trying to like normalize the fact that, you are going to feel a bit shit. Like,
like,
it's okay. Yeah,
it's okay.
Don't feel so scared. Yeah. Like, that is going to happen. You are going to have a bit of a few shit days, but that's okay.
Yeah.
Rather than being like, oh, postpartum, it's like this huge monster.
Best time of your life.
Yeah.
Yeah, or like, cherish every moment.
Yeah, yeah,
sorry,
yeah.
I'm not cherishing every moment. I haven't slept in 4 days.
What do you mean, cherish the punami that just ended up in my lap?
Can you tell me what part of this you want me to cherish? Like, can we ditch that as well? Because it's just setting us up to fail.
Yeah.
And I just want to ask you something really quickly there before we move on to the audience confession. Like, I talk about motherhood as a transition, and you said it there, like, the transition to motherhood was like, what just happened? I'd be really interested to know. I imagine when you came out of Love Island, that was a massive life transition as well. And maybe it wasn't. When you compare the two experiences, was there any similarity in terms of how you felt, that piece you were talking about taking back control? Like, were there any similarities?
It's hard to remember. And obviously, I was 22 coming out into that. So I went a bit wild. Like, I
love
had
it.
A few wild years.
I would have too.
but actually, I owe credit to Alex because he got me through a lot of it. Like, he kept me grounded. And also my friends and family, like, again, we're using the word normal, but they're all very normal. And they all, you know, you still live. Like, don't like get up on your high horse or anything. Like, you're just Olivia. Like, and I love that. And I was like, I am still the same person. So I didn't feel like my life hugely changed. And actually, I was just enjoying it so much and feel like that was the path that I was meant to take, that I just took it in every stride and just felt so lucky and grateful. I think the transition into motherhood, I don't know if you've heard the term matrescence.
Matrescence, yes.
Yeah, that's how you say it. The same as like adolescence, like, you have this huge change, like the biggest change in hormones you've ever had since your adolescence. And think about what happened during your adolescence. Like,
that was
To then compare that change that is a very similar jump, you will struggle with it. And I did struggle with it. But yeah, the two were very different. One was like very, you know, just throw caution to the wind, excited. But the transition into motherhood was quite heavy for me.
Yeah, and probably because there were changes happening. Mm. But 22-year-old Olivia coming out of Love Island, you still had full control of everything.
Yeah.
And I think that's why I'm talking about it. I think it comes down to the control. Thing. Whereas Olivia going into motherhood, you're going through matrescence. You are at your most vulnerable you will ever be from a psychological perspective. Mm. You are physically exhausted. You are not getting sleep. And here's a new person for you to find that there's no manual.
By the way.
Like, of course it's going to be hard.
Yeah.
You know, whereas you probably had the capacity as 22-year-old Olivia. While it sounds like it was an amazing experience coming out of Love Island, there probably were challenging times, but maybe you can't 100%. Remember it. Because
I think I do a lot of the time guard myself and I compartmentalize things to guard myself. So there's a lot that happened post Love Island that, not that I don't want to talk about, but I find it hard to dip into those boxes.
Of course.
And it's the same with motherhood. But for some reason, I find it easier to dip into those boxes because when I talk to people like yourself, I just feel comforted. But the Love Island transition feels a bit more isolated because not everyone's been through that.
I was just about to say that makes sense because there's only a handful of people who've been through that.
Yeah.
So maybe that's the, I don't think anyone will relate to this.
But I'm sure they would because actually like what I went through, a lot of girls in their teen years go through, like, we've all been through similar things. But I think I actually find the community of like mums I have on Instagram are just so nice and welcoming and friendly and open. And I know there's a lot of like talk about, oh, they're just you wait mums. But I don't really have that. I feel like everyone's so just positive and so just there for you, especially after I spoke about the twins.
Yeah.
I don't know. I just felt like everyone was so kind. And it was honestly just the most heartwarming thing I've ever felt to have a support from that community.
I think the majority of mothers are really supportive and it's met with, oh my goodness, thank you for sharing this.
Yeah.
And maybe for you and I, Olivia, maybe that just you wait doesn't fly with us because we're like, well, I've been through it. So I mean.
Yeah, to be fair, you were all right.
We got through it that happened. Part. Whatever's coming next, we're good. We've got it.
But it is funny you talk about control because I feel like that is the control thing for me is, my whole life has had a problem with control, but I'm sure that's from like issues back in like teenage years and that's where it stemmed from. But that is, you do just have to relinquish control when you become a mum, don't you?
Yeah.
Like, you just and give it
would
over.
Would that be, before we move on to the audience mum fashion, but would that be your one piece of advice? If there's someone listening now and she's holding a brand new baby, what would be your one piece of advice for her?
Give in. Just give in. Just give in to that maternal instinct if you feel it, or just give in to any emotion your body is feeling. Just allow it. Like, allow your body to take control. Let your mind rest a little bit because, like I said, I'm an overthinker. I always want to control and I had such anxiety previous. You just kind of have to let, it sounds really weird and it might be a bit too like, oh, airy-fairy for some people, but literally just like let your body take over and try not to think too much. And it is just about letting go. But I know how hard that is. Like, it's easier said than done. But I do think leaning on everyone that you can is probably the best piece of advice. The most useful thing I could say is just talk.
100% agree. Yeah. And I don't think that's airy-fairy. I think what you're saying there is like surrender.
Yeah, pretty much.
Surrender to the chaos and just let go of that control and try and control what you can control.
Mm.
If
do you
that
know
means
one
co-sleeping
thing?
Or go on. Are we having a third confession?
I just had a little one thing I did that changed, not when I had a newborn, but even this weekend is I used to be like the control thing. I used to be so tied in. Everything had to have its place. And, you know, if Abel had a toy out of the weekend, it would immediately have to go back away and plates would have to be away. But I started doing this thing where it's a bit of an exposure therapy for me where I let the house be a complete mess at the weekend, which is so out of turn for me.
Olivia, I think we're the same person. This is really weird. I have problems with this.
I thought you were just going to go, I have problems.
Well, I have problems, but what? Keep going. Tell me about it. I think we're the same person.
And I do think exposure therapy is a huge thing that does really work. So I sort of said to Alex, like, let's just leave the dishwasher, leave the plates, leave the toys. Like, if there's messes, just don't worry about it. Just even if it's just for a weekend and you know on Monday Abel goes to nursery and that's your time when you can take back control a little bit. But at that point at the weekend, surrender to being a mum, surrender to the chaos, and it's changed my life.
Oh my God, I love you. We're the same person. I don't quite do that, but I have rooms and wardrobes that, like, I almost describe it like I'm autistic and have ADHD. Mm. And the way I describe that is if you walked into my kitchen, on the surface, everything is organized.
Yeah.
If you open any cupboard,
it is
not a good place. And I do that with my home because pre-motherhood, everything had its place. Mm. And not for anyone else. I just need a really tidy environment to feel okay.
Just like me.
But kind of back to our point of surrendering to the chaos, I've had to. I have three kids. Like, I'm.
You can't be on top of it. You can't. You physically can't. And if you were, it would absolutely drain you and probably drive your kids up the wall, drive you up the wall. There's just no point.
Like, mum fashion, my walls are covered in crayon. I've stopped washing it off. I'm like, in a couple of years, we're repainting. Other stuff, if I'm having a really tough week, and again, I'll get in trouble in this because it's probably not environmentally friendly. Paper plates, cups.
Yeah.
Like, I don't
Easy
have the
life.
Capacity for this. My brain can't deal with this. So.
But it's not important. Like, I think that was the other thing as well. Like, learning the importance of things and what order things should take priority in my life really helped. Like, does it matter that there's a squished fly on the floor, or does it matter that there's paint on the wall? Like, no, it in the grand scheme of things, it does not matter.
Yeah.
Like, what is important is you've got the energy to enjoy your life with your family, your child, your friends, or whatever. Like, just try and take a back seat sometimes.
This is so funny. We are the same person. And generally when guests come on this, I'm like, oh, you're thinking like me.
Yeah.
Oh my God, there's someone else out there.
Everyone is just like, we all have those little similarities and it's just so nice to find them, like, in other mums especially.
I thought it was me. I thought I was the only person that really genuinely got uncomfortable with a messy home, but it's one of...
No, it's so... Yeah. Even Alex is a bit like it as well. So if it's my mess, that's okay. So, like, say, like, I've got something on the stairs that's been there for like 3 weeks.
I totally get it. I'm like, no, but I know that's
there. That's that, and I am going to put that away at some point, but it's just going to stay there for now. But it's in a neat pile, so that's fine. But like, if he's made a neat pile on the stairs, I'm like, why is your stuff on the stairs?
How
dare you make this house?
Oh my goodness, that's my poor husband as well. Like, he's a thing of, I put everything in the dishwasher, and we won't even get into that. I have a whole schedule around that, but he refuses to use it. He'll wash and let them drain.
Yeah,
every day I'm like, there's a cup
on the side.
Like as if he's the worst man in the world. Mountain. And he's just looking at me going,
but
really?
It's because you don't know his intentions with the cup.
What are you doing?
Do you know what I mean? When are you next using the cup? Or are you putting the cup away? Or are you planning to leave it there for a week? Like, I know my intentions with my mess, but I don't know yours and I can't trust them. Like,
we're wonderfully crazy, Olivia. Well, I love this. Yeah. Oh my goodness. It's so true. He gets such a hard time with me.
So
I'm sorry,
funny,
Brendan, but I'm like, why is the cup there? What's it doing there? And he's like, I don't understand. I washed it and literally the whole living room could be upside down. His brain is like, I don't understand why that bothers her.
Yeah.
And that doesn't.
That is so funny.
Oh, Olivia, I
no
love
sense.
You. Oh my God. Shall we get into an audience mom fest?
Yes.
Shall we get into this?
Yeah.
Over 80% of you told me that scrolling on social media makes you feel like you're failing as a mother. We are the first generation of mothers who have access to social media. At our fingertips, we are being shown images of perfect motherhood and how a mother should feel every minute of the day. The thing is, social media can't meet you where you are at. It doesn't do justice to the grey areas of motherhood. That's why I created The Village. It's a space off the scroll, away from the noise, and it's built to meet you exactly where you are. I'm offering all Mumfessions listeners 30 days of free access to The Village. Click the link in the description below for immediate free access. I can't wait to support you there.
Mom of three here, 11, 6 and 2. Finding being a mom very overwhelming at the moment. Feeling a bit of a failure because I'm always rushing and racing, trying to get the kids out the door for different activities. And I look at other moms and they seem to have it all together. You know, they could have 3 or 4 kids doing different activities and I only have the older 2 and I find it hard. I feel like I'm constantly giving out. And I suppose it makes me feel really sad that I'm not able to have my kids organized. But it's just, I suppose, the current world that we live in. You're trying to keep up with everyone else and giving your kids the best opportunities. But I just wish sometimes it would just slow down a bit and you could enjoy the little moments more and not be rushing and racing all the time and feeling like you just can't keep up and that you're just a failure. It is very overwhelming. I love my kids and just want them to have the best in life and have a happy mom.
Oh, do you know what I'm hearing there, which is really sad? Failing, overwhelmed, sad. And I know some people might listen to that and go, but is that not how we all feel? It is. And that's why it's a problem. Because what I really heard from that is, I feel like I'm failing compared to what everyone else is doing. I don't feel like I'm doing enough. And she's not saying it, but I'm sensing I'm a bad mom.
Yeah,
I'm not
doing it. That is definitely how.
What did you take from it?
I think like mainly just, she's just worrying about her kids being happy. That literally makes me sad. Like I could cry. Like, because they, all they want is you. The end of the day, like all they want is like your attention. And I know that we all try and strive to, you know, get our kids to swimming and get them in this hobby and do this, but actually, like when you think about your childhood, what do you think about? You think about when your mum was there, or when your mum gave you a cuddle, or how happy she was. Or it's a very simple life to children. It's not as complicated as adults make out, and I think we all struggle to remember that. And I just would like hope so much that she remembers to fill her cup so that she can pour into others. And I always talk about that. She is the person that needs to feel their best. And it sounds to me like she's putting herself last and making herself feel run down and overwhelmed just because she's trying to live this life that is portrayed on social media that she sees. That's not true.
It's not true. And it's, it's exactly what we were talking about at the start of it. It's like, it's the shoulds and the pressure of, well, Mary down the road is bringing her kid to golf and swimming.
She probably feels the same. Like,
but maybe Mary down the road doesn't want to do it.
Mary does not.
Again, Olivia and I are saying Mary doesn't want to do that. But like, it's the pressure of who created this rule that all of our children need to be in all of these activities.
I don't know where that came from.
Like, I didn't have that as a child.
No, I didn't. Like, I was at one activity like every like month. Like, you didn't have all of this constant, but it is the comparison, isn't it, online, and like the expectations are higher. I think it's just to remember, like when you're on social media, to take everything with a pinch of salt, and you've got whole 24 hours and it takes someone 1 minute to post that. I could probably take a picture of Abel mid crying hysterical fit, and I could probably get one of him like looking like he's smiling, and I could post that and make you think that he's having the best day ever. Like, there's so much smoke and mirrors, and I think that's probably where it stems from,
I actually think, Olivia, that's going to mean so much to so many people hearing that from you. I mean, you are social media in a way, like you're the best part of it, but there's so many other people who have a platform your size that are not honest about that.
No.
And so all we see is this perfect image.
Oh, guys, it's not true. Honestly, none of it is. I would just out everyone on Instagram. I'll out every influencer. Like, they're not perfect. Their lives are not perfect. And actually, I do see an influx of influencers becoming more real and becoming more honest, because I think that they're probably struggling too. Like, trying to upkeep this image of being perfect, whether you've got, you know, 3 followers or 300 or 3,000 or 3 million, whatever, we're all still human, and they're probably struggling trying to keep up with someone else that they follow. There's always a bigger fish, you know?
So, like, it's so true. And I always say, and even if it is true for them, we don't know what sort of support they have. Mm-mm. Like, if you're looking at
like
some
10 nannies.
Exactly. You might have, you know, we all see on Instagram, maybe the mother who's just had a baby and she's looking gorgeous and she's loving it. And that might be true, but she might have a night nanny. She might not have ever struggled
with
her
mental health.
Which is amazing.
Which is amazing. Love that for you. Like,
love it. Like, there's nothing wrong with having a pleasant experience. I think the challenge is being open about it and saying, you know what, I'm loving it, but maybe it's something to do with my privilege or lack of privilege, or my support or lack of support, because every other mother is left there going, why do I find this hard?
Yeah, because you don't know what they've got. Do you think it's wrong of us to expect everyone to have that level of honesty on social media? Do you think we should be expecting people to, you know, tell us everything?
I think it's shifting. I think, as you said there, and by the way, that should be a podcast in itself, Olivia outing everyone. But like, Olivia's going to out you guys. She knows more than I know.
Oh God.
But I do think the industry is shifting. I think where a few years ago, and you would probably know this better than me, where glamorizing life and every part of it was sort of the norm, and people almost went to social media for escapism and for inspiration, which is still valid and still amazing.
Yeah, of course.
But I think what's happening now is people are sort of going, it can't be that perfect. I want you to show a bit of vulnerability. I want you to say what you find hard. And I love you more for that. Yeah. I think as an industry and a world, we're just done.
I have noticed a difference over the years. I remember when we first come out of Love Island and was in the influencing world, it was all very picture perfect. And people loved that. But it got old quick. Yeah. It got boring quick. Like, when something's perfect, it's boring. Do you ever see a perfect tree or a perfect flower? Or no, you don't. You don't see anything that's perfect and think, wow, that's really interesting. Like, the interest comes from something looking different or weird. That's what I find interesting. So I feel like as a group of people and as like humanity, we find beauty in the things that are flaws. And I love that. And I feel like that did start to transform in that space, in like the influencer space. And I feel like that's really nice. And I hope that it keeps going that way.
I hope so. And as you were saying that, what came to mind, and I wonder, I'm no expert in this, but you know, when social media started, we were all younger. And I think so many of us have now kind
are
of
we just the old, are we just the old ones? Or
just got old. We are the old people now, Olivia.
Maybe that's why I think now. I'm like, yeah, it's all really good now. But
I remember back in the day.
And I follow like flower pages and stuff, not bloody... not influencers. I'm like looking at bread and sourdough and
look
stuff.
Look at them out past 9 p.m. and I'm in bed. But on a serious note, I actually think this is my conclusion on it, that so many of us transitioned into motherhood during that time. And I think it forced us into a harder chapter of our life where our tolerance for perfection and fakeness was just gone.
Yeah.
And that's my theory on it, that the generation that started social media, we're now mothers.
Yeah, that's so true. I've
and
never
I think
about
we
like
went
that.
Through that journey and we're just like, no, I can't stomach this anymore.
Yeah.
I want something real. And I think it's one of the reasons we connected at that event. Mm. I was like, you're so honest. You're, as we've demonstrated on this episode, we're thinking the same. And I certainly don't have a capacity for it anymore. I kind of smirk now when I see it because... Like you, I've got to know people and I'm like, I would have looked at you and thought you the perfect marriage, perfect home, perfect kids. I know that's the complete opposite.
Yeah, we've got, you know, we've learned along the line that that's not physically possible for anyone. Like, I genuinely don't even think the Kardashians feel that way. Like, it's not physically possible. Humans aren't capable of perfection.
I wonder what their mum fashion would be. Oh, what do you think Kim Kardashian's mum fashion would be?
I think it'd be really good. I actually genuinely think they're probably really lovely people that have the same issues as us, just on a different, you know, in a different realm and scale of things. But
I think it would be so, I actually think it'd be really interesting.
Should we call her?
Abby, no pressure. Well, she might pick up for you, Olivia, whatever
I
hope
highly
you stand.
Doubt that.
I've not. No pressure, Abby. Can we book in Kim Kardashian?
Oh my God, imagine. But yeah, going back to that mum fashion, I just hope that, like, she realises, maybe from listening to this, that there's no one that's got it together. And even the woman that does have it together, that's doing that, that you're comparing yourself to, she also does not have it together.
Yeah. And I can add a mum fashion to her mum fashion. For my kids, for their, like, activities, I don't do any of them.
My mum takes Abel to swimming. I don't do it. I don't like swimming.
Olivia, we're the same. I can't deal with a swimming pool. I can't heat, the noise, the humidity.
It's like a bath that everyone's sharing and I can't get over that.
I can't go past that. It's disgusting. I don't understand it. And
like
I
spas.
Kids are going to the toilet in it.
Yeah. Oh, for sure.
Like, I'm not up for that. But I, like, my husband, credit to him, does all of those activities. And we're not doing it to do them. It's like my son genuinely keeps asking to do them. So we're like, great, let's go.
And if you enjoy it, like if you, you know, if you're not enjoying taking them, that they'll probably be fine without it. Like they'll survive. So don't force yourself.
Yeah.
Like I said, I'm not gonna go swimming. I hate it. He would be like, Mum, you look well upset because I'm not enjoying myself. But like,
I love you, dear, but not that much. Yeah. I'm not getting into that.
I'm sorry,
pool.
I'm not getting into the wee water that you call pool water.
Because I learned, you know, the baby nappies. Yeah. They don't want to absorb wee.
Yeah. I didn't know that people didn't know this.
Yeah. I know now, but initially I thought,
yeah, the wee's going straight through, guys.
Wees are going through that.
It's They're catching the poo, but...
Catching the poo, but not the wees. No. So, I mean, you know, if you're a woman who's not up for the swimming with your kids, like, full respect.
Yeah.
It's not for
or
the
anything. Like, not just anything. Like, you know, I sometimes... This is another thing that, like, I really struggle with is when I see women do crafts and I'm like, you're so good at that. And again, I love that for you. Like, I wish that I could do that, but I don't like crafts.
I can't do it. I can't stand it. I wish, and full respect to those women who enjoy it. Like, my little girl loves
so cute
colouring. And she's always like, mommy, mommy, and I'll do it. But I'm like, oh my God, what's wrong with me? Like, this is so boring.
It's so funny.
It's so boring. But like, again, it comes back to the, as I say, the rules of motherhood. Mm. And there seems to be this rule book of, to be a good mother, you love all
the activities. You have to craft.
Momfession number 10 of this episode.
I know, a million.
My little boy, and everyone in Ireland will know this, like, plays GAA. So in Ireland, GAA is like the local kind of sports club that does hurling and Gaelic football.
Right, yeah.
And every child in Ireland is involved in it. I have never once gone to see him train. I have never once gone to a match. I just find it really overstimulating for my autistic brain.
Yeah.
Like, my husband is riding that ship with him.
But that's fine. And they should have things that are just for dad and son or dad and daughter. Like, you don't have to be involved in everything.
I'm not. I will never be the soccer mom at the sidelines. And that's okay. But,
yeah.
But I'm saying it because there might be some women listening going, why am I not interested in that? Why? That's okay.
You have interests and you have things you're not interested in. It's just like having a personality. It's fine. Like,
and I don't know about you, but I'm a real girl's girl. I've never been interested in sports. And I don't think even having sons can get me over that threshold of being excited.
I'm quite competitive. So I do like watching it, but I probably can't throw a ball, to be fair. I can ride a horse. I can't throw a ball.
So what are we wrapping this up for this mom? What's our advice for her?
I think just remember that comparison is the thief of joy and Instagram is not real.
I think that sums it up, Olivia. And I think
and you're doing so well and I love you and I don't want to hear her upset. Actually, mate, it got me like teary. I hate that.
Yeah.
Like, just want to make my kids happy. Oh my God, they probably are. They love you. Like,
and the thing is, if we set down her kids here and ask them, they would probably say, oh, mommy's amazing. I love mommy. Oh, we don't actually want to go swim.
Yeah. And they'd probably be like, oh my God, I don't know. I love it when she makes me pancakes, or I love it when she plays in the garden with me. It's such minor, small things that you think are minor and small, but to them, it's like their whole world.
Yeah. And actually, thinking back as a child, I remember like my parents bringing me to piano lessons and I was like, I hate this. I hate this.
I wish they'd stop.
And I remember for whatever reason, the teacher left and I was like, this is the best thing ever. So like, that's another thing.
Yeah.
Do your kids actually want to go? Mm. Like, who are we doing it for?
Yeah.
And I think your advice is solid there. Social media isn't real. Do whatever you want and just create your own rules.
Happy, yeah. Be happy in yourself so they can see you happy.
Oh, Mike. Olivia Bowen, it's been such a pleasure.
So nice.
Honestly.
Have we covered every topic in the land?
We do fit a lot into this. We do try.
We've been like this. I did say at the start, I was like, I'm never linear. Like, I'm very up and down. But I love how you like, you follow that.
But I think that is motherhood, isn't it? Like, there is no straight line.
It's not linear.
Your path. It is up and down and in and around. Yeah. And just when you feel like you've cracked, another curveball comes in. And that's okay. Like, I talk about motherhood in chapters. There's harder chapters. There's easier chapters. I firmly believe I'm going to come into my own when I have teenagers.
Yeah.
And like, I think...
Some people do. Like,
I think I hated the newborn stage.
Yeah.
I didn't do well without my sleep. Mm. And that's okay.
Yeah. I've never been like a maternal person, I don't think.
So. But what even is a maternal person? Like, where did that definition
I don't
come
know.
From? Like, you know, like, again, like, there's all these definitions. But actually, for me, being a maternal person is I'll do my best for my kids.
Yeah, be yourself.
I'll be myself. I'll always have their back. Like, my home will always be their home. And like, I think I'll come into my own when they're like in their 20s and they've had a really hard breakup or a tough time. And
oh, don't. I'm dreading that.
I think you'll be really good at that, Olivia.
I know, but how horrible. Like, I always think, oh God, he's got to go through things that are so hard. And you just don't want that, do you?
But they do. And we had an amazing psychologist on this a few episodes ago. And she was like, actually, you know, being a good quote unquote parent is about doing your best 30 to 50% of the time.
Mm.
That like, we need our kids to experience highs and lows and heartbreak to build
for sure.
resilience.
Yeah.
So that they can navigate
it's
that
so true.
Horrible breakup at 22, that we know what that feels like. Because I think when I look back at my experience of childhood, my parents did their best for me, but I was never told no. Mm. And I went into the real world and I was like, you're saying no to me?
What?
What? I was probably a bit of a spoiled brat. Mm. And that didn't do me favours. We kind of veered off again.
Yeah, we have.
That's the point.
And we're like trying to end it and then we're like, right,
hold on,
we're
just having, well, we did say that the night we met. We were like, this could be a two-part. But Olivia, genuinely, it's been such a pleasure to speak to you today.
It's been so nice.
Like, this genuinely will help so many women to hear your perspective and your honesty, particularly someone, I suppose, that has such a platform and is respected by so many, to just have that honesty. And I can't wait for this outing of the influencers.
I know. Well, stay tuned.
No, I'm kidding. Don't
no, that's not happening. We're not outing anyone.
No, honestly, it's been such a nice conversation. Like every time especially when it is with another mother, like I just feel like it's therapy. It's just such a nice, honest, open conversation. And I just feel like more people need to speak like this.
Yeah, but we're never alone.
I've enjoyed it so much.
We're never, ever, ever alone in what we're experiencing. Olivia, thank you
so
much.
Thank you for having me.
I'm so glad you were here. And if you want to hear more about Olivia's motherhood journey, her new series, Olivia and Alex Parenthood, starts on ITV2 and ITVX at 8 p.m. on Sunday, the 12th of October. I absolutely adored my conversation with the lovely Olivia. And what I found particularly important and helpful about it was Olivia speaking to what I've always said about social media. In some cases, it's not real. It's just a moment in time and it doesn't reflect someone's reality. But yet, as mothers, we know all of the data is there to show how damaging social media can be to our maternal mental health. And I think it's a real problem for us because so many of us are addicted to it or reach to it for that scroll, looking for maybe a bit of escapism or looking for a bit of entertainment. But actually, what it's doing is telling us, you're not doing this right. You're not a good enough mother. And it's just not true. So what I want you to do for this week's challenge, if you want to get involved, and it's something I regularly get Village members to do, which is my online community for mums, I want you to take a social media break. I literally want you to delete the app from your phone for 1 week. And I want you to really track the difference it makes to your energy, to what your little inner critic is saying to you, and just note it. And really take time at the end of it to reflect. How did my week differ? How did I feel? What was my inner critic saying? And I'm not saying don't ever go near social media forevermore and delete it forevermore. But what I'm saying is this challenge would help you get clarity on how social media is influencing how you're speaking to yourself as a mother. It's influencing what you believe you should do as a mother. And it's really, really, I suppose, giving fuel to that little inner critic that I don't want you to listen to. So delete it for a week, really check in on how you're doing, how you're feeling. And then at the end of the week, you set the rules and you set the boundaries. So maybe it's, you know what, I'm going to go on social media, but it's a max of 15 minutes a day. And you set the rules for yourself because there are a lot of things in motherhood that are outside of our control. But the media we consume, particularly social media, is something that is within our control. So get off it for a week and please, please, please let me know. Hop onto my Instagram, Mind Mommy Coaching. Send me a message. Drop me an email, info@mindmommycoaching.com. I really, really, really want to know how you felt after your social media break. As we finish up today, I want to share a voice note from a mum who is now in her happier chapter of motherhood, to give you hope that you are closer than you think.
Hi, Laura. So I've been a Village member for about a year now. And I have to say, I've noticed a huge difference in a lot of different things in my level of confidence as a mom, kind of just embracing my own, as Laura says, like my own motherhood rule book, but really like my own, you know, choices for my family, what's right for my family, and kind of actually reached the point where I don't really care anymore what other people think. And it really just is about ensuring that, you know, if I'm happy, my kids are doing great. And I really believe that a lot of that is because I am looking after myself, and the Village has been so helpful in that regard. It's really just also just a space to like chat to other mums and to normalize stuff that's going on and challenges that can come up. Yeah, I've just found it brilliant. And, you know, I think that inner critic that I know a lot of people struggle with. Like, definitely I've noticed a huge reduction in that, actually. And again, just a confidence as a mother that I didn't ever think I'd actually ever reach. So, and not to say every day is perfect, but I can notice a huge difference, say, compared to myself last year, this time last year, before I joined the village. So yeah, thank you so much, Laura. It really has been, it's been absolutely brilliant, and I would really recommend it to other moms to lean into it and to yeah, just give it a go and give it your all, because I've really benefited from it.
Thank you for listening. If you found today's episode helpful, please hit the subscribe or follow button. But most importantly, please share with your friends. Because if you related to any of the topics on today's episode, I promise they will relate too. You can also leave me a review and a rating wherever you're listening. I'd really, really appreciate it. If you would like to avail of some additional resources, please visit my Instagram page, Mind Mommy Coaching, or join the village via the link in the description below. I hope you have a wonderful week, and remember, it's not selfish to mind mommy, it's essential. Mumfessions is an Insanity Studios production. The head of production is Charlotte Mason. The head of digital is Ed Buckley. And the production assistant is Abby Sandler.